Hello and welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today, I'm so excited to introduce you all to Elizabeth Kasman. Elizabeth is a lawyer who didn't think she would end up devoting years of her life to uncovering how to be a healthy, fully functioning human being, but she thought at the time that doctors could take care of that. Sorry for stumbling around. But after the first four children, she was starting to realize that she was actually the best person to take care of her own health as well as her family's health. 10-minute doctor office visits just were not cutting it. Totally get that. She realized she needed to use her research skills and take a deeper look into the medical situation. She came across some information suggesting that removing dairy could help. And so she did that. And that was the end of one of her child's ear infections. She became fascinated with using food and supplements as medicine. So she decided to go through training to become a health coach, not as a career of, but just to gain more knowledge for her family. It was a nice foundation, but she wanted to be able to order labs because the blood says so much. And for herself and for her children. And this was before direct to consumer labs were a thing. So she enrolled in the FDN program and became a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, an FDN. Her skills from being a medical malpractice attorney before she went corporate helped her out tremendously. And it was then that she learned how to conduct medical research, decipher case studies and apply that information in an easily understandable and accessible way. So, her family and she have tackled things like mold illness, thyroid disease, parasites, heavy metal toxicity, leaky gut, and so much more, all without traditional medicine. Although she does say it has its place when it's really needed. But basically, she says that she address their problems by eradicating the actual problem rather than treating the symptoms. And they all came out stronger on the other side. So that's wonderful. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. And we're going to talk about all of your experiences here and how now you help other women and other families get healthy the easy in the natural way. So
Yeah, thank you. I'm impressed. That
but
was a mouthful.
sometimes I have a hard time getting through everything, but we got it going that time. All right. One of your mantras, and I love this. I love this. One of your mantras is menopause is mandatory, but misery is optional. So for a long time, we didn't talk about menopause. Most of us didn't even think twice about it. We knew it was there. I mean, we knew. But we didn't really know what it meant because there's no other talked about it. So why do you focus on menopause and perimenopause?
We didn't really talk about getting our periods when we were teenagers. You didn't get a lot of information about what childbirth was going to be like. And the same applies for parents. There's a lot of maybe embarrassment or shame around these things. And I think it's getting a lot better, which is amazing. And as I was saying before we started, I do focus on perimenopause, but I love the teenagers and working with people's daughters as well, so that they don't have to suffer the way we did through certain things. And that's part of why I love working with perimenopause and menopause women. The idea is to take away the stigma, to take ownership over it, to realize we have more control over it than we think. And you wake up one day and all of a sudden you can't sleep and you've got anxiety and all these weird things going on, and you know that you didn't really change anything. And so it's a mystery and you feel helpless. And so that's the biggest thing I want women to realize, is there's so many things they can do to feel better, to feel rested, to feel calmer. Those are so many of the issues that women deal with during the perimenopause, menopause time, and it can be sad and it can feel isolating and lonely.
I will tell you my personal story is that when I went through perimenopause and menopause, my job was to be up in front of huge groups of people, either training or facilitating meetings with executives, being a consultant. So one of the things that I told my doctor at the time when I was experiencing some of those first symptoms, the worst one for me was just breaking out in a sweat and having a hot flash while standing in a suit up in front of a crowd. That's not
Yeah.
acceptable. That's just not
Well,
acceptable.
no, a huge number of women quit their jobs during this time, which, and the tragedy of it all is it's like you finally got your kids raised and out of the house. You've
Yeah.
gained the knowledge and experience. And this is a time where you could just be kicking some butt in your career. And all of a sudden, menopause happens and you've got brain fog and sweats. And yeah, it's a, I forgot the percentage, but it was something like 40% will quit their jobs during this time. It's
I'm not
huge. And
surprised.
it would save corporations a lot of money. I've often thought about doing some consulting for corporate women and companies and helping support them through that because it would help them retain a huge portion of their workforce.
Not exactly. And the fact of the matter is, when I did go to my doctor, I said, "All right, I need something. I need something." And she would not prescribe any hormone replacement therapy because that was still at the point in time where they were saying it was, cancer causing and that sort of thing. So what have you experienced in the with the women that you have coached, and what alternatives are there for them that you have found?
Most women are still afraid that hormones cause cancer, and many doctors are. The Women's Health Initiative came out in 2002. So, any physician that was in medical school around that time, unless they did continuing education, are still going to think that hormones cause cancer. But I do like women to just first take a common sense approach and say, even if you don't know how to read studies, you know what you see, and we see cancer among women postmenopausal increasingly higher than any woman in their 20s or 30s. So, just on a level of not even researching, we just know at a common sense level that it's the hormones are actually very protective. And so, I try to take the fear out of it, first of all. And then I have a whole educational part that cites studies and everything that does give the science, but I like to start with the common sense approach, and then to arm them with that research to take to their physician. But it's difficult to train a physician who is not interested in hearing it. They don't have a lot of time. I don't blame them for that. It's hard seeing, 50 patients in a day with 10 minutes. It's just nearly impossible. And then to do continuing education on top of that. So I do like to refer out to a list of physicians and even some online platforms that are amazing at providing hormone replacement and doing the coaching alongside of it because you still need to do the lifestyle modifications. A lot of, because a lot of women will get their hands on hormones and think that's going to be it, and they can actually feel worse if they haven't addressed, cutting down on the alcohol, exercising. But the hormones at least will get you to be able to go to sleep and get a good night's rest and give you that motivation you need to do those things.
Or stand up and deliver a whole class without, taking your jacket off at the end and you're soaking wet.
Exactly.
That was the worst thing for me, to be honest with you, is I'd never sweat in my entire life. I glistened when I got
Yeah, a
to
dewy glow.
work. A dewy glow. Yeah, I'm Southern. I do a dewy glow. But when I hit
Right.
menopause, I look like a field hand.
Well,
it was
and
awful.
there's so many levels to the hormone replacement because even if the client is up for it and they find a physician who's willing to offer it, there's so many different ways to do it. A lot of physicians are still giving the birth control pill, which I'm not a fan of. But the reason they like it is because it will make the hot flashes go away and women will sleep. It's not going to protect your bones from osteoporosis. It's not going to protect your brain from dementia and it's not going to protect you from cardiovascular risk, but it's going to send the client away happy and rested, and they're not going to be advising them on, you know, what 20 years down the road looks like.
Right. Well, the other thing is that when I finally found someone who said, I can help you with this, it wasn't synthetic. It was all compound pharmacy, natural, whole health. And I pay for that. I pay a lot of money for that, but it's worth it for me to have the more organic approach. And it's the most minimal that I can do to control the symptoms. And I've weaned myself, you know, over the years, I've weaned myself down to almost nothing now. So it helps. It helps a lot. So what are some of the things
Yeah,
that,
and there's
yeah,
options.
go ahead.
Just financially, there's options as far as, you know, the estradiol patch is bioidentical estradiol, and then there's Permetrium, which is progesterone. So both of those are not compounded. They're generally not what I prefer, just because Permetrium has some additives and yellow dye in it, and the estradiol patch is not. Usually, it depends. Every woman absorbs hormones differently depending on your skin thickness and body temperature. The patch is generally not enough to protect against bones, but if finances are an option and it has to be covered under insurance, those usually are. And so they're really nice options if you don't want to go the compounded route, because they're still bioidentical.
Well, I luckily feel very comfortable with the doctor that I wound up with, because they are holistic all across the board, and I really enjoy that I'm not putting extra chemicals in my body that my body really does not need and know how to process properly. So,
Right, and that your liver metabolizes it properly,
oh
and when you're
yeah.
working with someone that's holistic, they'll help you make sure that your gut's in the right place to metabolize your estrogens and your liver's in the right place. And so it's just such a big difference when you are working with someone that has the time to look at you specifically.
I spend a good, I would say, 45 minutes to an hour with her.
I love that.
Twice a year. What's the most challenging thing that you have experienced in going through what you went through with your family? And tell me more about this journey and what was really hard and what was easy about it.
It's so funny when I talk about it because I feel like, did I just have bad luck? Or I tend to look for things as part of the problem. And when you look for things, you'll find them. When, and a lot of people will ignore things. And women in particular are, we're so strong and we will really ignore things and say that everything's fine. And when you really drill down and you say, well, aren't you feeling this, that, and oh yeah, I guess I am. And I think it is a bit what happened to me. You know, in my 20s, there were always, I dealt with anxiety, I dealt with some eating issues, and I wasn't grounded. You know, no one talked about nervous systems back then. And it wasn't until I got very sick with mold. That I realized when I looked back on my life that I had had issues with mold the whole way. I just didn't know what it was. But something was always off. I was always having irregular heartbeats. And then I had Hashimoto's. And fortunately, by the time the Hashimoto's crept up, I was already in FDN, which I know is a mouthful, the functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. So I already knew what to look for, fortunately, because if Hashimoto's goes on too long, you can damage your thyroid to where you need medication your whole life. But I caught it early. I cleared the mold and I got rid of the Hashimoto's from clearing the mold. But you do have to constantly run labs. I prefer quarterly, twice a year is great. But if you're keeping up on things and you know what to compare your numbers to, and you see something go off, you can get it right away and avoid, a lifetime.
So you do your labs once a quarter. Is that
I
what you
do.
said? Okay. And so there, and so you are now licensed or certified to actually make that comparison for yourself, and then you know what to do to treat that or to get ahead of it when you see something going on. How do you do that? Or how do you help other people do that?
I do whatever someone is comfortable with as far as their comfort level with me, with their physician, with their finances. You can burn through a lot of money with functional testing. So I stick with what works best for the client, and I can find a lot of great nuggets in just a covered under insurance white blood cell with differential. I did a whole course with Dr. Karazian, who does an amazing job at this. And there is so much great information and nuggets in just a white blood cell with differential as far as parasites, food allergies, bacteria, viruses. So that's one that most people have. And so I'll generally start there. And then depending on where they are with hormones, I know there's a whole loud voice right now in the ether. Those saying that you really don't need to test during perimenopause because it's so crazy, and you don't need to test during menopause because it's just flatlined. But it's because it fits an online model for telehealth that just simplifies their life. But it is really important to test hormones, even though they fluctuate and they can be different a few hours later. But you really do need to know in general levels, and you can see patterns over time. So it's not so much about the accuracy in that moment, but you see a pattern as far as especially things like cholesterol, that cholesterol automatically will go up as estrogen declines. And so even if it's hard to catch your estrogen at the proper number, if your cholesterol is constantly climbing, you haven't changed anything, your estrogen needs some help. So there's patterns that you look for, and I can do that for a client, and then I don't prescribe, I'm not able to prescribe, but there are referrals then that I give for prescribers.
And what about supplements? Because I know in the last several years, supplements, not several, but probably 10 or 15, supplements have become kind of a fad almost. What kind of supplements, natural supplements, have you tried or do you think well of, or what is your opinion about them?
I love to try everything. There are some basics that there's some basics I love for everyone, which would be, a great probiotic, fish oil, a multi. Most people are deficient in magnesium and vitamin D. So those are kind of the basics for everyone. And then beyond that, when you
I've got those.
kind of yeah, I mean, pretty everybody needs those. And beyond that, when you get into the biohacking world of really mitochondrial function, there are some great ones that are really good for women in perimenopause and menopause because our mitochondrial function is declining as estrogen declines. So things like spermidine and MitoPure, which is urolithin A, it's a postbiotic. Both of those show really great responses for women and their mitochondrial function in perimenopause and menopause. They're a little pricey, but those are two of my go-tos for women who feel like their energy is low and they need a little help.
What about the whole?
And of just making sure that you think
Sorry,
which
we
one.
had a little bit of a glitch there. So let me get you to go back one. What was the last one that you said? And I'll edit this, so don't worry about it.
Oh, I was going to say to make sure that if you're not getting your cruciferous vegetables, a sulforaphane supplement to help detox circulating estrogen is a big one.
Okay, thank you for that. Sorry about that. We're right next to an airport where we're camped out right now. So when the planes go over, sometimes it does a little glitch to the internet. Sorry about that. Okay, so you mentioned mold, and obviously the environment is a big trigger for a lot of things. I know that a lot of people have allergies. A lot of people live in places where, it makes breathing even harder just because of it's a city or whatever. What kind of advice do you give to people who have those environmental situations?
Well, about 25% of people are genetically susceptible to mold, myself included. So that means that my body doesn't recognize mold as a toxin and I store it in my liver, and that's how I became very sick. So I take a daily binder, and binders are things like charcoal, bentonite clay, chlorella, zeolites. You have to be careful because a lot of people are already depleted in minerals. I remineralize all the time. I take ocean minerals, I take fulvic minerals. So I'm very careful to make sure that I and my clients do I recommend binders to take activate everything and then detox it with binders. I don't know anyone that I have done their labs with that I haven't recommended a binder because truly everyone is exposed to so many toxins, especially in places like Florida. There are a lot of biotoxins there. So I do recommend a daily binder, but that comes with some responsibility to make sure you're going to the bathroom so magnesium comes into play because you don't want to recirculate them, and to make sure that you're mineralized. And if it's in the budget to have an air purifier is an amazing thing. But even for people who are not genetically susceptible to mold and feel like they live a healthy lifestyle and eat all organic and take saunas and do all of the things, we are all exposed to, all of the airplanes and the exhaust from cars. It's a lot. So a binder is one of my favorite things.
So when you have people, I'm just thinking about current events. When you have people that come to you and say, "Hey, what do you think about these semaglutide slash GLP-1 injection things to lose weight?" What do you say to that?
I know of a lot of people who have, type 2 diabetes and had a significant amount of weight to lose who benefited, my father being one of them. He was not able to work out because his knees hurt too badly. And he did quite well on those drugs. And he's doing better. And it's, helps regulate his glucose and insulin, and his overall health has improved. So there's definitely a place for it, but the clients that I work with who have gained, 10, 20, 25 pounds during perimenopause and menopause because of hormonal shifts, that's usually not the group I recommend it for. I like though I do there are certain peptides I like somorolin. That's more of an anabolic peptide, so that'll help you put on muscle. So I prefer to take the approach of eating more protein, lifting more weights, and doing more anabolic peptides if somebody really wants to. Because there are some people who just hear the word peptide and it's a sexy thing and they don't want to miss out and they want to be a part of it. And I understand. I'd rather go, because there's so many trends and peptides are such a big one right now. But I generally go the more anabolic route rather than cutting down appetite for someone who just has a bit of frustrating weight. I'd rather see them increase their metabolic rate rather than decrease it. Because that's the thing, when you take the weight loss drugs, you will make it harder for yourself afterwards if you're losing your muscle because your metabolic rate is going to decrease. So the second you stop, it's going to take very few calories to put on weight.
Yeah, it does. It does. that's the downside that I keep waiting for, the media to start covering, but they haven't yet. And so, I think it'll come out eventually.
Well, the other thing that's an issue is right now I'm working on a book about bone health, and it's a big part of it because a lot of these women are, they stub their toe and they'll break it. They'll trip and try to hold themselves up and break their wrist. It's leading to a huge loss in bone density in a short period of time. And during premenopause and menopause, we're already losing bone density because of lower hormones. So when you stack that on top of it, it's a major risk factor.
Absolutely. Well, this has been fascinating. And I could ask you questions just for me, for the rest of the day, but we're almost out of time. Is there anything that you want to add and ge as general information for stressed out senior women leaders who are, struggling with their physical health? In addition to everything else that they've got going on, are there some tips or tricks you could do or you could leave us with on that?
Well, I would say at any age, hormones is still an option. I come across women all the time who are 65 and up and feel like they missed the boat, and that's just not the case.
Right.
You do need to get a calcium score to make sure that your numbers are good. But once you get the go ahead, even if you are not a candidate for estrogen, progesterone can be life-saving. I mean, I work with women who haven't slept in years, and all of a sudden they're sleeping, and they're just completely different people. So you're never too old to reintroduce hormones and to make these changes and feel better. And there's just nothing sadder that when someone feels like they missed their window of opportunity. It's just not the case. Where there's always an opportunity to feel better.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I have three questions that I end every podcast with. The first one is if you could close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to tell me what appears in your mind when I say wise woman. And you can open your eyes and describe.
I mean, I literally, and I'm not saying this just to blow smoke, but I am picturing you, and I'm picturing really all the things that you're doing, I think is really amazing. It's so clear that it comes from a really genuine place of wanting to lift up other women of all ages and make this world a more peaceful place for us, which I think is amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. That's wonderful. Oh, I'm gonna cry. I have done 72 episodes and nobody said me yet. Thank you. The next to the last question is, where do you like to roam?
It's so funny because I love to roam at home. I used to be such a big traveler and I was always planning my next trip, but I love where I live so much. And I live in the mountains in Arizona and I hike every day. And so I like just walking out my back door and roaming around where I live. I love it.
Well, let me just tell you, last year, we live in our RV. I don't know if you know this part about my story, but we live in our RV and we travel during the summer and the fall. And so last year we were in Arizona. We went through, your typical Phoenix, Sedona, Flagstaff, Grand Canyon, all of that. And it is just such a diverse state. From one end to the other, there is not a single sight that is not breathtaking in my mind. So, yes, I would agree with you. I love
Well,
Arizona.
I do love it here. Even last week, I drove up to Flagstaff, went skiing for the with my kids, went skiing for the day, and then drove home and was in the pool in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah. That's the beauty of Arizona, I think. The last question is, what makes you restless, but in a good way?
Probably my kids.
Okay.
They're, I've got four kids from 9 to 18. So they make me restless in all kinds of different ways, but in a good way. I mean, they're wonderful kids.
They keep you on your toes, keep you active, keep you laughing, no doubt.
They sure
And
do.
frustrated sometimes, I'm sure.
All of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much for appearing with us today. I know that the audience has been really blessed by your presence and your information. How can they get a hold of you if they want to learn more?
Thank you. I'm at strongchoices.com and I put out educational information on Instagram at strongchoices1.
Perfect. I'll put all that in the show notes, people. And please like, subscribe, and send us a note. Tell us you like the information that Elizabeth has given us today. Thank you, Elizabeth. I appreciate your time.